Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clipper and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's poke you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. Ye who had injury. Ye who had.
King Derek the fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Talia Tua Valoa. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now.
You got to be a trendsetter.
14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
And I'm still dumb, it sounds like. Hey, it's The Drive with Shay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise hanging around somewhere in the station. He may join us a little bit later today. We're off a little bit early for Cardinals Brewers tonight. The red hot St. Louis Cardinals, 16 straight and counting, and a chance tonight to wrap up the second wild card spot. The champagne is on ice. Down at Busch Stadium, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us, KMOX, and of course the Cardinals Radio Network. Kevin's going to join us at 4:30. We'll get his thoughts on this Cardinals team and what in the world has happened with this team, but we'll talk all about that as we go along. Derek, what's up, buddy? You got your
Cardinals shirt on, man. Wearing it proud.
Hey, thanks yesterday for you and Trevor handling the show. I'll be frank, knowing that Illinois had lost again and me getting all teed off Saturday, and knowing that the Bears had lost, and knowing you wouldn't be happy with that, I was kind of glad I wasn't here yesterday.
You dodged one, for sure. We could have used you. Someone had to bring some positivity, even if it was you just talking about the Cardinals.
Exactly.
Arizona Cardinals, by the way, winning and staying in first place, at least a tie with the Rams.
Right.
That was one you just had to get through. You had to wear that one, as you would say in baseball, and we did.
That's why you're a professional. And that's why Trevor Valise, when he has to, coming out of the bullpen, is a professional as well. Of course, what was Jay? I didn't get a chance. I was delayed every time. And, okay, there's only a few things people hate hearing about. Your fantasy team and your problems on vacations, right? Because they're like, okay, we don't need to hear it. We all have our issues at the airport. But every time I go to Arizona, whether I'm going or coming back, it seems like there's an issue. And yesterday we had maintenance that pushed the flight back like 3 hours. And I had gone through, I set up notifications on my phone. I had just gotten through security. Hey, your flight's been pushed back an hour and a half. I'm like, I could have grabbed Lucas and we could have gone to eat lunch. I guess I could have gone. I don't even check a bag. I travel with a backpack. That's it. But I'm like, I'm not going back through secure. I'm not doing all that. But I don't know. It was crazy. But, yeah, I don't know why. I'm always, like, delayed. And I didn't get a chance to hear the show. And I didn't get a chance today to podcast. It was Jay. Was he upset? Was he?
Surprisingly, he was in a pretty good mood. Like, he's encouraged.
Really?
He's encouraged about the young pieces.
Okay.
Encouraged about the defense making strides. Obviously,
hard to argue.
Be easy to look at Josh McCray and get excited about what he's going to be. I mean, he's a monster.
Yes.
But
second straight week, you don't go for it.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
When you have that, you have the quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Just the thought of where you were after week zero against Nebraska and the fact that you could be 2-3 or even 3-2.
3-2 and 3-0 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You could be 3-2. And 3-0 in the Big Ten, including 2-0 in the West. And you're 1-4. Yeah. I don't know.
What do you have to say about that one?
It was so frustrating. It was just so frustrating. And while I'm a guy that even sat here and agreed with Jay Layman against Maryland, in the sense that you had a 7-point lead in that game, Although some would say, well, that's when you step on their throat. And I totally get that. I was not as upset about the not going forward on fourth down against Maryland that I was against Purdue. Because I just thought to myself, you've struggled all day on offense. And I know that would then lead to, well, then why do you expect us to get a fourth down and two? And I know that Coach Bielma said, because it was fourth and two and not fourth and one, he decided to punt it. And I think a football lifer could argue that he made the right decision twice. But certainly this fan base, there's about 99% arguing the other way. That when you're bad anyway, and you really haven't done much as a program, why not just go for it? You know, why not? I mean, here's Coach Bielman his first year. Now, it could have backfired both ways the other way. He could have gone for it 2 days in a row, not gotten it. And then we could be sitting here going, well, you're 1-4 because our head coach decides that he's going to go for first downs and think we're the best. But wouldn't your fan base be sitting there going, all right, yeah, go for it?
Yes.
So that,
and there's even the middle ground of kicking the field goal.
Oh, yeah, exactly. When you've got a guy that can consistently hit 50-yard field goals, it made no sense not to put points on the board. Zero sense whatsoever. And, I mean, look, I know that Ryan Walters in this defense is a lot better than what I thought. But you understand, Derek, for the last 10 years, I've watched a defense that has ranked either 13th or 14th in the Big Ten in defense. So the idea that I'm now 2 weeks in a row going to say, yep, I'm going to hang my hat on an Illinois defense. The numbers, you don't bear that out. They don't bear that out. So I think you've got to go with the sure thing. The sure thing would probably be to kick. You're exactly right. To me,
you can still have a really good defense.
Yeah.
Which Illinois doesn't.
Like, no, they don't.
Let's be honest. Like, for as well as they've played and they've made some improvements, they're still not a great unit on that side of the ball.
They're playing better.
They are playing better, and to their credit, that is the case, absolutely. But you just put the ball back in Purdue. Their fate was back in their hands at home.
Yep.
And while you were on the road and you were playing spoiler and you had a couple breaks go your way in terms of picks by O'Connell, it was a chance to at least pad your lead with a field goal or just say, screw it, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to steal this thing out of West Lafayette, which – I think a lot of fans would have been at peace if that was the mentality and it failed, that you could live with that more than the other way.
And I think even think of it this way. And Brett Bielma, I mean, look, he needs the fans to like him. He needs the fans to show up, but he also doesn't need to sit there and coach a game worrying about what we're thinking, right? I mean, he's a coach that, you know, it's his job. He makes a lot of money to go out and try to win football games. So even with the idea that the week before I didn't go for it in Maryland and we lost the game, I would think in his mind, he's like, I'm going to go for this because if we don't get it, then at least everybody would be sitting there going, well, at least you went for it. Then again, I don't know. We're fans, right? We could then say, oh, okay, so you don't go for it on fourth and one, but you go for it on fourth and two. I mean, you know, there'd be plenty of fans that would say that.
And he could have even fully believed in his mind that Maryland call was the right one to make by punting. But naturally, based on the criticism that came his way, you would think that there would be sometimes you got some downtime in the office, it's late at night, you just watched a bunch of film, and you're like, if we're in that spot again, what would I have done? Yep. What would the play be, or what would our options be on the play card to get that fourth and one, fourth and two?
I think that's I think they practice those things, don't they?
Oh, you have to.
I mean, he talked about, you know, how they always practice that last second, you know, throw down the field and stuff like that. I'm assuming that they say, okay, fourth and one, here's where we're at. What are you doing? And you're right. I think a coach in his mind would have to know, okay, you know, you can't be ready for every situation. But the fact that it just happened, I could understand what you're saying. I'm tired of losing. I am damn tired of losing football games. And I know that we have to give Brett Bielma time. And I do trust with this coaching staff and Brett Bielma, I do trust that the product in 4 years will be better than the product that was 4 years in Lovey's tenure, or probably Tim Beckman's tenure, although he didn't last four. You know, I do trust that. But I also just look at this team and think, you know, All I heard 4 or 5 years ago, we're the youngest team in football. And these guys are playing already. Well, 4 or 5 years ago, I was fine with that because they were. That's a fact. Well, now I thought, you've had all this time now. And I know while a lot of teams have super seniors back, those super seniors for those teams probably weren't all playing as freshmen like this super senior group was. And it's just frustrating because I think, okay, if you couldn't win three or four games, if you couldn't win six games this year, man, and they're not going to.
Right. And I know you mentioned it
maybe
there.
Maybe four? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. For your sake, hopefully.
Yeah.
The fact is, and you mentioned it, like, Bielema still deserves the patience.
Sure.
And the opportunity to turn this around. Like, that's unquestionable. Like, that's not changing regardless of how the rest of this season plays out.
Not at all.
But we talked about in the offseason what was going to be different about this year's team versus last year's team. We talked about maybe the biggest X factor is coaching. Yeah. Maybe the biggest X factor is in-game decision-making scheme, which we're seeing defensively, like having some creativity and this isn't working, we're going to try this. And that has played out here the last couple of games with Ryan Walters, to their credit, where maybe Lovey sits back and gets diced by Virginia and says, you know what, we're still going to do what we do. We're going to play cover two.
And he would have.
And we're still maybe going to get blown out by Maryland and Purdue after that.
Great call.
But when you look back at the last two games and some of the in-game decision-making and where maybe in Maryland, when you factor in punting it, but also calling that timeout, which gave Maryland the chance to go down and get the field goal, and then definitely in Purdue, where the guy you brought in, who's the proven track record in the Big Ten, is costing you, or at least as far as a percentage in terms of blame going around, that's who you're pinning it on. I think that is disappointing that we're already talking about that 5 games into his tenure where you thought that maybe it'd be the opposite, where he would push this group in the right direction versus what Lovey was doing.
That's well said. That's really well said. And on the quarterback note, I still think Art Sitkowski will be the starter this Saturday. And here's why. Because you now have a chance. Although you could make this argument either way with Brandon Peters as well. You should beat Charlotte. I mean, you're 9 or 10 point favorite, right? Illinois should beat Charlotte, which says to me, whoever does start this game at quarterback is going to have a pretty solid day, right? You're going to win maybe by a couple of touchdowns. They're probably going to throw a couple of touchdowns. And then it's either going to be, see, we told you Sitkowski should be back in there as our starter, or, well, maybe the coaches are still on to something and they were patient enough to see Brandon Peters finally come through. I'll say this. I'm very disappointed in Brandon Peters. Very disappointed in the idea that he cannot do more. And I even with the idea that you don't have much of a receiving core, I totally get that. But you've got a running back that literally just went out and dominated a football game in McCray.
7 yards per carry.
And you should be able to play off that. And that's why it's called play action. You should be able to play off the idea that we're not handing it to him. This guy's open. Now, if our receivers are that bad that they're never open, then I probably owe an apology to both quarterbacks. But Brandon Peters has got to get you at least a touchdown, right? When you've got a running back that's and Tony Peterson too, you've got a running back running for a record, essentially, and some, I'm sure you can find a record out there for what he did, and you can't score a touchdown.
You had three guys, if I'm remembering correctly, three guys in one-on-one coverage on that very last drive, and all three sailed out of bounds, like not even giving the receiver a chance. So I don't care as far as how good is this receiving core and your weapons. One of those was Luke Ford, matched up on like a safety who had his back turned, and give that dude a chance to go up and make a play, but no, you're throwing it out of bounds because I think you're scared. I think you're scared to make the mistake.
And the week before the interception when you overthrew Luke Ford.
Right. The confidence is completely shot on Brandon.
Yep.
And the confidence is so overwhelmingly vivid with Tony Peterson and the way he's calling football games.
Like
there is zero confidence in the quarterback. There's zero confidence in the passing game. And that's really hard to watch.
It is. It is. And I didn't expect, never have I expected Brandon Peters to be an unbelievable quarterback. Like, I wasn't expecting him to make this huge jump in year 8 or whatever he's in now to where all of a sudden it's like, oh, whoa. But I expected better than what he's given the last 2 days or last two games. I'm disappointed in him. I'm not mad at him. I'm disappointed.
Disappointed, yeah.
That it should be, he should be better. It's that simple. You have been around Michigan and Illinois, two good football. Well, hold on, two Big Ten football programs, and you've been around college football for 6 years. You've got to be better. Look, I didn't play football. I wasn't a quarterback. I would think, though, after 6 years, if you told me to do something for 6 years, I'd be a lot better than what I was in year one. And he's not. So
I'm with you. And I don't understand the games of not telling people who the starting quarterback's going to be. Maybe they need to have some kind of an internal competition this week and really try to throw the best guy out there. But other than that, like, and you mentioned it, and you said it right. The decision shouldn't be made based on what the fan base is saying. It shouldn't be based on, like, someone, an intern on the football staff is counting Twitter mentions, like, okay, we got 4,000 for start Art, and we got 53 for Brandon. So we got to go with Art.
We got to go Art. No, yeah, that's so
but
true.
But then, like, the whole Tony says it's going to be Brandon, and Brett says I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
I don't understand that whole deal.
Well, and I mean, look, the best option is not on this team. I'm sorry to say
correct.
That.
Correct. And I said it to Jay yesterday. How are you not, and you got to play within the rules, but one of the secrets of the transfer portal, which isn't really a secret, is a lot of people who hit the portal know where they're going by the time they hit hit the portal.
Yep.
So I'm not recommending that Illinois break any kind of like tampering rules or anything like that, but the word should be out.
Mm.
Illinois starting quarterback, which is a Big Ten program, which should be something that's decently sought after.
It's wide open.
It's wide open. It's coming from the portal.
Yep.
Who wants it?
Yep. That's exactly right.
That should be known.
But we did see Sitkowski put up some points. And, you know, I mean, would you argue that UTSA could beat either Maryland or Purdue?
They could.
Would you argue?
Beat Memphis.
Well, right. So, I don't know. You know, and Art scored some points there. I can't believe that I'm sitting here in September arguing for Art Sitkowski to be the starting quarterback at Illinois. That is where we're at. I mean,
that's the best line of the opening segment, really. Sums it all up.
And it's not even just that's where we're at. That's where we continue to be. And, man, I just want to win. Screw the bet. Yeah, I need 4 wins, right? I need, and that'd be great. I don't care about that.
No.
I want to get to Memorial Stadium like I did the first week zero this year, and see the excitement in the tailgate lot, go into that stadium, see the excitement in that stadium, and then win a game. And the feeling that felt like, not just that night, but for all week, that feeling I have had so few times in my life, I just wanted that. And here you are. You're so close. I have to give him credit. I mean, you are close. You went to a Purdue team that, they're not that good. But how many times in the past have you gone to like a Purdue and you get beat by 17 points and by the second half you're like, bah. And at least here, I mean, you have a chance the last 2 weeks. These have been exciting games, except for Virginia. If you throw Virginia out, every game this year, I mean, the UTSA game, I was just going nuts in the horseshoe, just being like, all right, just get the lead. Just get the lead one time. And then, of course, in that Maryland game, it's like, oh, my gosh, we fumbled the ball. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. That's a touchdown. Finally, things are going to go our way. Nope. And then this Purdue game, you just sit there and you're like, okay, just score a touchdown. We got a freshman that's running for 5,000 yards and could be the bell cow that you need. Dang it, Derek. You said it. I'm one of the more positive people you'll ever meet, and I can't stand myself hearing myself. I can't. Hey, Ryder Cup.
Let's talk about it.
The United States, 19-9.
Dominated.
Absolutely dominated. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've watched a lot of Ryder Cups. As you know, that is my event. No way, and you know, and where that I'm just going to automatically sit here and go, up Illinois, the United States ripping off the next four Ryder Cups. No. There's too much pride on that European team, and they've shown through the last 20 to 30 years that they're the team normally that shows up to play. That said, man, there are some young stinking talent on this United States team, and they came out that first day and just from that first day on absolutely dominated the Europeans. And even bigger, day one, second session, which has been an absolute blowout forever in terms of Europe, the United States won that second session and never looked back. That was an impressive showing. Congrats to Steve Stricker, former Illini, good friend of Mike Small. How cool to have a former Illini hold up that Ryder Cup trophy and say that I'm the captain of one of the most lopsided, at least in the modern era, Ryder Cups ever. It was an absolute blowout, and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, and we talked about going into it that the alternate shot was something that has plagued the United States.
Big time.
That was on Friday, right? That was opening things up, and they had a fairly commanding lead after that first day.
And that's Strick. Strick decided to come out in foursome instead of four ball. Four balls when everybody plays their own ball. Four people playing their own ball, four ball.
Gotcha.
Foursome is just the alternate shot, and the United States is never good in foursome. Well, I mean, there's been years, but for the most part, Europe's always better at that, and it's almost because they grow up playing that more over in that area than they do here. So, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, you're good. And you know far more about this than I do anyway.
They do it twice. They do it Friday, and then they do it Saturday.
Right.
Same deal. And you can flip them. Like, you can start foursome, then four ball, and then go four ball foursome if you want on Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, they do those twice, and then, of course, singles. But, yeah, I just, man.
And you look at the history. If my research is correct, which I'm on Wikipedia, which is always.
Have you ever paid Wikipedia?
I should. We've talked about that.
Yeah,
before.
We have. We really have.
Most lopsided win for anyone in the Ryder Cup since 1975 when the United States won 21-11.
Wow. And that was, I mean, let's be honest, it kind of hid the drama of Sunday, I'll be frank. But it was nice to walk away with a victory. There were so many things I wanted to talk about in this segment. Instead, we went down a rabbit hole.
I'm sorry. I had to get your take on football. I wasn't going to let you completely off the hook. Because Trevor and I, after that show, we took a deep breath and were like, oh,
we got through that.
We're going to make Lon say something about that game.
We're going to punish him. And the Bears didn't score.
No.
I'm sorry. All right, we got to catch a break. Trevor is in there saying, let's go. Kevin Wheeler is next. KMOX, Cardinal Radio Network. The Cardinals have won 16 straight baseball games. How? We'll get it from the expert next. It is The Drive.
I bought a new gas range and dishwasher. This box store said they install, but just dropped them in my kitchen saying, I need a plumber.
Well, Mrs. Customer got herself in a pickle again. Going to the old lumber yard, thinking that's where appliances come home ready to use.
They just showed up, dropped them off, and left.
No doubt they took your money and ski-daddled out of the county. Service after the sale isn't something that happens often these days.
Mr. Narrator Guy, where do you go?
Much obliged you asked. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, they do things different. Hook up to gas and water. Shoot. They'll even convert natural gas to propane for the country folk.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Sounds like they'll fix me right up. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World's Labor Day sale is going on now, all through September. GE French door refrigerators are in stock. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
Sometimes the team at Banco Overhead Door in Muhammad gets asked,
what kind of garage doors can you repair?
What they should be asked is,
what kind of garage doors don't you repair?
The team at Banco is ready to serve your needs, whether it's brand new door installation or even just replacing sections of your your current model. They also offer installation of safety sensors and weather stripping to keep yourselves and your doors safe from harm. Whether it's a new door, custom door, a motor, a part, or an existing door, Banco repairs it all. Find out more about what the team at Banco can do for you at 217-590-4085.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl, Chinee Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper did a little tubing down the Salt River in Arizona this weekend, so I maintain my tan for at least another week.
Very nice.
Although it's like 84 degrees here. So, yeah, that was a fun little trip out to Arizona. Didn't really get a chance to talk to you about it. Maybe by the end of the day.
5:05.
Okay, yeah, by the end of the show, we'll chat about it. All right, it is time to talk to the guy, KMOX, also Cardinals Radio Network. You can follow him on Twitter at KevinWheeler94. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. What's up with you guys, man? What's new?
Well,
Other than, you know, winning streaks and stuff.
I just told Derek when we went to commercial, poor Kevin Wheeler. I tried to get you last week, but you were flying that day. You were traveling. And I said,
yeah.
I said, this poor guy probably, I know you didn't, but you probably enjoyed it more when the Cardinals weren't good because we didn't bother you then.
No, there's nothing good about covering a bad team. That's not fun.
That's true.
You know, the players aren't having any fun. The manager, nobody's having any fun. The fans are all riled up. So, this is way better. I know people like to accuse all of us in the media business because we're all terrible people of, like, rooting for bad things because we all love negativity. That's BS. None of us like negativity. We all get into this to cover good teams and have fun.
Yep, I totally agree. And, Kevin, I want to ask you, is it okay for me to apologize about how many times this season that I've basically said I'm done with the Cardinals, and now all of a sudden I'm like, they can't lose? Can I apologize?
The second part is just an observation of reality, right?
Right.
I mean, you don't have to apologize for that. Look, if you have to apologize, Lon, everybody in Cardinal Nation has to.
Exactly.
I mean, look, and the criticisms earlier in the year were all valid. I mean, they were all correct. They were all based on evidence. They were all based on how the games were being played. And now the same is true with the positive.
Right.
Right? I mean, when you're going this way, well, guess what? The coverage is all that same way. So no need to apologize. I do always do this, though, and I include myself in this conversation because, well, I do the same thing that everybody else does, right? I mean, we all kind of ride around. It's almost like we're in the boat on the ocean and the waves are getting choppy and we're all in the same situation. I am still amazed that all of us who follow the Cardinals still have never learned the lessons of 2006 and 2011.
So true.
And oh, by the way, the Blue Stanley Cup team. We've not learned a damn thing in 15 years about how you got to let something finish before you kind of come to any kind of conclusions about it.
Boom. Kevin Wheeler just dropped the mic. He may not be there when you ask the next question, Derek.
I mean, I'm the idiot that did it, too. I mean, it's not like I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm pointing it back at me. I mean, it is amazing that when we're in the middle of all of those rough times, we don't have the capacity to just say, you know what? Maybe we'll have, like, when the season's over, we have all the time in the world to complain.
Right.
To talk about what needs to be changed and who needs to go and all that. I'm not sure why we all have to do that. Maybe it's just because, you know, you care and you get frustrated and all that. But, I mean, it's still kind of illogical. So hopefully we'll all learn from this, even though we haven't learned from the other examples.
That's so true.
Kevin, I do want to go nitty-gritty, as Lon likes to say, micro, baby, on the different things that have factored into an epic win streak. But Lon and I were talking before the show. The fact is there were so many games that were just demoralizing losses, like late in July or early August. We're like, okay, that was the final nail in the coffin. The game against Milwaukee where you had a 4 or 5 run lead in the ninth inning and you blew that seemed like the very end-all be-all for the fan base. It was like, okay, this team's not going anywhere. Why was it not that case for the team, do you think? How did they climb out of that and then get to this point?
Well, mostly because that's what they're paid to do, right?
Right, yeah. That's the answer, isn't it?
You know, yeah, I mean, and I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm really not.
I get it.
Players, especially in baseball, I know this is true in other sports too, but it's especially true in baseball because it's every single day.
Right.
I've had so many major league players tell me, like, look, I can't even think about yesterday or the day. I got to think about today. Like, I have to do this again tomorrow and then the next day and the next day. And there just isn't time to dwell on all of those things because by the time you wake up in the morning, it's off to the ballpark to start working on that next day's game and getting yourself right. So I think it's just kind of the nature of the beast in a sport that plays as much as this one does. I'm sure you have more time to second guess things or you know, kind of get into your own head when you have 6-7 days between games like football. Or heck, even sometimes 3 or 4 in hockey and basketball. But the fact that you play every day, I mean, it's literally all they can do is focus on what's next, because what's next is another game tomorrow.
Yeah, good point.
Kevin, I can't think of how many times we've had you on these airwaves and grumbled about the outfield and what's going wrong there and talking to you about Dexter Fowler. And, well, all of a sudden in September, Harrison Bader's hitting 360. And Tyler O'Neill, I don't think it's hyperbole to say here, at least during this stretch, has been a star in the middle of that order. How much confidence do you have in those guys? And I think maybe even bigger picture, like long term, are we sure that they're the answers now just based on what they're putting together?
I mean, there's zero question that your starting outfield for 2022 is set.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, Dylan Carlson's having a really nice rookie year. He's already got 30 doubles and 15 dingers at 22 years old. You know, again, there are things he probably could stand to be more consistent and all that, but I mean, he's 22. I don't think we're too worried about a guy that is already well above average as a hitter as a rookie. But yeah, I think Tyler O'Neill, as you point out, I mean, there's nothing to dislike, right? He's second on the team in home runs. He leads the team in OPS. He's second on the team in wins above replacement. Leads the team in slugging. I think he's second in on-base percentage, which is really, really important and really, really surprising, to be honest with you, because that's not really kind of his profile, but it has been. And what's interesting is he strikes out a lot, but it doesn't matter because when he hits the ball, he hits it so damn hard, you get production, right? You've got 24 doubles and 32 homers. And by the way, that's even though he's missed like 22 games.
Incredible.
You know, with a couple of different stints on the injured list, we could be talking about, you know, a 36, 37, 38 home run season for this guy if he hadn't missed that time. And by the way, maybe even thinking about 100 runs batted in like you're going to get from Arenado and most likely Goldschmidt.
Right.
And I think that part is solved. And look, Harrison Bader can be frustrating for fans, right? I mean, he's streaky. If you go back and look at his July numbers, I mean, they were just stupid. He was amazing in July. And then in August, he had like a 420 OPS. It was awful, like completely, like it's almost like an on and off switch.
Yeah.
And then this month, he's back to being on the on switch. But when you add it up in total, he's a 270 hitter this year. He's got a 794 OPS, which puts him 19% above average on OPS plus. So this guy is almost 20% above major league average as an offensive player right now. He's got almost 4 wins above replacement, despite only having 97 games. So what we're looking at here is a guy that would probably have, you know, a WAR in the range of O'Neill and Goldschmidt, and 20 plus homers and 30 plus doubles if he had played 140, 145 games like those other guys have.
That's incredible. Kevin Wheeler, man, he's all about knowledge. KMOX. This is why we love him on the Cardinals Radio Network. We'll hear you tonight, correct?
You will. Okay. You'll hear me, the next fortnight.
Okay. And hearing about...
Actually, sorry, that's wrong. I lied. Thursday is an afternoon game.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So day and then 3 nights, we'll do that. And you'll hear him in about an hour right here. You can follow him on Twitter at KevinWheeler94. All sorts of ways to listen to Kevin Wheeler, and I always enjoy doing it. Now, your bread and butter, even though you know baseball so well, your bread and butter always seems to be pitching as well, as you were a catcher at Miami back in the day. You know how to do this. You know how to work and understand how pitchers work. How important was it for John Lester and J-Hap, or however you say his dang name.
Just say it like it's J-A-Y and you're good.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, J-Hap and John Lester. How important was it? I'm not saying they are the reason for the turnaround, but them coming into this rotation, what has that done for the rest of the rotation?
Well, most of what it did was, like, stop the bleeding, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's something that Mozeliak talked about. I don't think he used that exact phrase, but that's what he talked about when they acquired those guys. They just need somebody to calm things down because the guys that were running through there, whether it was Oviedo, Ponce de Leon, Gant, all of these, they were struggling incredibly just to throw strikes. And it was putting stress on the bullpen in the fourth and fifth inning at times. And what these guys have done is, here, we have a really good defense. Go ahead, hit the ball. Go ahead, hit it. These guys will catch it for me. And look, they're not dominating, but you look at the two of them combined, Lester and Happ have combined for 21 starts this year, and that earned run average between the two of them is right around, is exactly 4.00, which is solid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. That's all they needed. All they needed was some stabilization from those spots. And the scary thing to me is how much better the team could have been if you didn't miss half the season with Jack Flaherty, and
right.
if you didn't have Miles Michaelis have the setbacks to the point where you wouldn't even, you know, you wouldn't even have seen him until really mid-August for real. But those two guys in particular, and by the way, Wade LeBlanc before he got hurt, those three guys in particular stabilized it because they put the game in the hands of the Cardinals' greatest strength as a team, which is the defense.
Right.
This is the best defensive team in baseball. They were the best defensive team in baseball last year. They were an elite defensive team in 2019. That is what they're really good at. And by the way, that's a big part of the reason why Adam Wainwright's so good. You know, these guys do a great job of saying, we know what our team's strength is. Let's let them do their work. Where guys like Carlos and Gant and obviously Oviedo, and for all different reasons, and Ponce and all the problem with all those guys is they just couldn't throw strikes.
Yep.
And you can't defend against walks. So then when the ball does get put into play or it does get hit over the fence, it's a three-run rally instead of a solo shot.
Well said.
Kevin, it's easy for us to think so narrowly as far as that one game against the Dodgers or one game against the Giants. And, you know, on the Cardinals side, it's going to be Waino. I mean, since June has been one of the five best starters in the National League, it seems like. How about how the rotation's shaping up? Say they advance and they get into a five-game or even a seven-game series. What is that looking like in your opinion? How should Cardinals fans feel about the way that it's stacking up beyond Adam Wainwright?
That's a great question. So if you're able to get into the division series, let's use that as kind of our jumping off point. All right, the team's beaten the Dodgers. What are you looking at in the rotation after that? I don't think we fully know right now.
Yeah.
I think we're going to find some of that out in the next 6 days. I mean, if Miles Michaelis throws the ball the way he has his last two times out, Miles will be the guy that follows Wainwright. I mean, you know, he's got the track record, he's got the history, he's got stuff, and the last two games he's really started to figure it out. He's got the feel back on the breaking ball, and that's the one thing that takes some time when anybody misses as much time as he did. And look, he hadn't won a game until, like, what is it, a week and a half ago. He hadn't won a game since September of 2019 because he'd been hurt all of that time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you miss a lot of time, sometimes you'll come back and your velocity's there, but your feel is not there. The feel for the breaking ball, the command is not what it was. But the last two times out, Miles looked like Miles.
Yeah.
So if he looks like that the rest of this week or he looks like that in his next start, I got to believe that he follows Wainwright. And then again, after this, what do we see from Flaherty this week?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got to assume they're going to give him another look and maybe try to get him to two or three innings. Well, you know, you might treat him as an opener going into the playoffs, and you go to Jack Flaherty for two or three innings, get what you can out of your best starter, your most talented starter, and then follow that up with matchups. And then, of course, you've got to think about, all right, what do we do with Jake Woodford? Jake Woodford's killing it, man.
Incredible.
He's got a 190 ERA in September. He's been unbelievable for this team. So, and I didn't even mention Lester or Happ, so I think they have choices, but I don't think it's sorted out yet. I think it's going to be partly sorted out with what happens this week.
And to add on to that, what about Dakota Hudson? Maybe not in a starting role.
There's another great one. I mean, Hudson is built up. He can throw five innings, six innings. I mean, you know, he threw five innings in his last couple of outings at Memphis, so there's no reason to think that he couldn't throw five innings. And, look, his last time out, he wasn't perfect by any means, but I thought his stuff looked really good. I mean, the sinker was biting. The slider was really sharp. He wasn't perfect by any means, but didn't walk anybody in his 3 2/3 innings and looked like he had good life on his pitches. I mean, if you see a good outing from him this week, he could be in that mix for sure. Absolutely.
And again,
I don't know that it's a great choice to make between all these guys right now because we're really judging a lot of this on small sample size, right? I mean,
sure.
Michaelis and and obviously Woodford and Hudson and Flaherty.
Yeah.
We just haven't seen a ton of them here recently. So, you know, we're going to be judging on small sample size, but, I mean, at least you got choices right now. And if some of those guys have a good week, you probably see them as a part of that mix if you get to the division series.
And, of course, if you get there, last one for you, Kevin. You're going to have to face either L.A. or San Francisco. The way the schedule breaks out, Giants probably favored in that. So you're going to face L.A., and that means probably Max Scherzer, who is just ridiculously good against you. In your mind, though, is it a no-brainer for me to sit here and say I'd rather face the Giants than L.A., and it's all because of Max Scherzer?
Well, I mean, look, here's the truth. You're going to have to get through Max Scherzer and the Dodgers one way or the other.
Yeah?
You have to. I mean, there's no other way around it. You're either getting them in the wild card or you're getting them in the division series, right?
True.
Would you rather have to beat them 3 out of 5 or just beat them once?
Never thought of it that way, Kevin. That's why we have you
on. I mean,
on.
That's not an easy answer, right? I mean, it's Max Scherzer.
No, it's not.
You know, it really is not fun at all to go, Max Scherzer's in our way. But, you know, if you face the Dodgers in a 5-game series, you're going to see Scherzer twice.
Ugh.
If you get deep enough into it. And then the other times you're looking at Bueller and Urias and maybe Kershaw. I don't know if they'll go with Kershaw or not. I mean, you know, Tony Gonsolin's been pitching really well. But obviously they've had that choice, or maybe they go with a tandem of the two of them. I don't know how they do it. But the point is, you're getting 3 Cy Young contenders in that series no matter what. And that's not a thing to knock on San Francisco, but I think if you look at Gossman and Webb, Webb and Wood, you look at the guys that they're going to put out there, I think you probably feel like you can beat them a little bit better than you could beat the Dodgers. But again, either way, whether it's in the wild card or in the division series, this thing's going through the Dodgers one way or the other.
Great call. Great call, Kevin. Just tell me as we close out that Max Scherzer will be in a Cardinals uniform next season. Is that like every Cardinals dream?
Can't. I can't say that. I mean, I'd love it. I think everybody would love it.
Mm.
But, you know, I think a couple things to think about. One, what does Max want?
Right.
You know, is he having a good time in L.A.? Do the Angels get stupid and offer him $40 million a year for 2 years because they're super desperate to finally win with Ohtani and Trout? I mean, I think there's a lot to figure out in that regard. Maybe another question, too, is, look, you're going to fit Scherzer no matter where you want to.
Sure.
But at this point, you're still looking at Wainwright, Michaelis, Hudson, and Flaherty to start your rotation for next year. And that doesn't count Alex Reyes if he's going to get a look in there, or Woodford or anybody else. And I'm not saying you take any of those guys over Scherzer.
I get it.
I'm just saying that, you know, you're not in a desperate place there for 2022. And while I would rather have Scherzer than any of them, and I would rather have more certainty than less certainty, I'm not sure that you're going to be able to win the bidding on that. I mean, can the Cardinals spend $40 million on a starter? Because
yes.
I'm thinking Scherzer's looking at Trevor Bauer money.
Okay. And that makes sense. It's so funny because we do this with all of our athletes. Well, he's from the St. Louis area, so he wants to play there. Well, that's not always just the case. So.
Well, he did before. I mean, like, it's been pretty well reported and documented. He wanted to when he was a free agent, and they didn't really want to spend that big because at that time, they were coming off a year where I think they had the second or third best rotation in baseball. So they decided to take a pass, and, you know, who knows? Maybe that irritated him.
Well, that's true.
And by the way, also, if he's going to get $40 million from the Angels, I mean, a year from the Angels or somebody like that, I mean, that's a hard thing to turn down, too.
Right. No, I totally agree. Kevin Wheeler, you're the man. We'll hear you in about an hour, less probably than an hour, on Cardinals opening day, or not opening day, but the opening to the game tonight. So always enjoy that. Kevin Wheeler, KMOX, Cardinals Radio Network. Thank you, sir.
Boys, be good. We'll see you.
Okay, buddy. Kevin Wheeler telling us to be good. Certainly we don't have to do that, do we?
He probably should have said that before you went to Arizona State.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now, you be good. Look, he speaks the truth on a lot of this stuff, and it is one of those things where it was funny. He's like, not that you wouldn't fit Max Scherzer in there, but certainly the problem with me as a Cardinals fan, and this can happen with a lot of, I mean, I understand, you know, health comes into question, but it always seems like you have an injury or two every year with that starting rotation, whether you're the Cardinals or just pick a team. It's very rare that you just go all season with five or six guys and it's never a problem. It just seems like also the Cardinals have more of an injury issue on their pitching staff than other teams. And I know it's only because I focus on the Cardinals, so I want to say that. But certainly, man, if you could, I don't know what Scherzer would want in terms of money. Boy, you and I both had that look on our, when he said that about the Angels, we both kind of were like, oh, I never thought of that.
They should be getting desperate. The Angels, that piece.
I don't know how they still have money.
That's a good question.
I mean, they're still playing or paying Pujols, right?
Was this the last year of his contract?
Was
anyway?
That it? I can't remember. So, well, there you go.
Maybe not.
You'd have the money then for Scherzer right there because you'd be getting rid of Pujols' contract. And you'd have to add a little bit more, but they can do that. But it makes sense. I mean, they need. And if you're Scherzer, I always sit here and look at this. Okay, think of it this way. What is the cost of living in L.A. compared to St. Louis? It's not even close. So $40 million out there would probably be $35 here, right? I mean, you're about even. I don't know this. If you're an economist or a financial, I mean, please don't rip me for saying this, but you get the point. It's a heck of a lot cheaper to live in St. Louis than it is L.A. or wherever he lives. So if you want to value the money that way, I don't know what the tax structure is in L.A. compared to St. Louis, et cetera. But, you know, you look at that, and then let me just give you history. What franchise is probably going to win over the next 3 years? St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Between those two, for sure. Now, the Dodgers in the mix as well would be...
Well, now that. But if it's just Angels and Cardinals...
Correct.
And if I'm Scherzer and I'm saying, okay, I want $40 million a year. Well, I don't think the Cardinals would pay $35 a year, honestly. They're not going to do that. But let's say it's $30 or $25. Let's say the Angels are going to offer $30. The Cardinals can offer $25. If I'm Scherzer, I'm like, I'm taking the $25. I'm playing for a franchise that consistently makes the playoffs. Even the whiny fans like you and I who are mad because they're in the playoffs again. They were in there last year, by the way, even though we soon forget, right? And I think, you know, he's got a chance to pitch back where he was from. Unless, like Kevin said, maybe they ticked him off years ago when they said, we don't want you.
Either way, it's a short-term decision because he doesn't have much left as far as years. You wouldn't think, unless he's going to pull a Tom Brady on us.
Well, no doubt.
Pitch another 6 or 7 years.
I mean, what would it be, a three-year?
Probably.
Three-year contract? Three-year, $90 million?
Yeah. And to think in year one of that deal, you're going to go and pitch with Waino and Flaherty and throw to Molina his last year, and you got Arenado and Goldie. You got a lot of other pieces where the Angels have two superstars, and then the rest is like, that's who's pitching point. Behind me in that rotation?
Right.
Are we going anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a factor as well. So it's easy. Like, it's been an exercise that we have done thoroughly and very frequently in terms of finding a way to get Max here.
Depth.
In St. Louis,
you know, I mean, you can, Mike Trout, everybody'd love to have him. Shohei Ohtani, everybody'd love to have him. But if you don't have anything else, then you're probably going to end up like the Angels end up every year. Now, you're adding Scherzer, you're adding a third superhero, but this isn't the NBA, right? I mean, you still have to employ 9 guys a game, basically. You know, it's not just those three. Who was the guy, Eddie? Who was the guy that pitched fast pitch softball with 3 guys? Somebody's going to send that in. Eddie something. I saw him one time in Decatur. I should know that. Did you know, I was looking at the records today, standings in baseball. Did you know that the Cardinals, I don't want to say probably, but very well could finish with a better record than the White Sox?
And I think, doesn't even make sense.
I always think about Jeremy Werner because he's always like, oh, you poor Cardinals fans. Oh, look, you've gone on a 16-game win streak, and you're going to be back in the playoffs. You know, woe is me, and he's so right. But the White Sox have 89 wins right now. Now, I did not digest, essentially, or go in and look at who they play to end the season. The Cardinals have 87 wins. And they've got the Brewers for 4, a team that has already won the division. I don't want to say they don't care, but they're not playing for anything right now. And then you got a Cubs team that just isn't very good. So let's say you win five of those seven. I mean, I don't know how long you can continue to win every game. It doesn't make any sense. But if you win five of those seven, you've now gone 92 and whatever. I can't do the addition to that. And if the White Sox, let's
92
say.
92 and
70. Oh, yeah, that is pretty easy on that end. And the White Sox, let's say they win three more, you'd be tied with them, which makes zero sense.
Yeah, you just think about the narrative that's been around the White Sox the entire season. Like, one of the best teams in the league, going to go deep in the postseason.
Goodness.
Cardinals fans completely done with their team in late July, early August. And
they end up with the same
record. With the same record.
Even though the White Sox aren't pushing now, you know,
yeah,
they basically have that done. I think Trevor's making fun of us out there. I can hear him making fun of us. All right. I don't know what we're doing at 505.
Tell us about Arizona.
I can do that. There's got to be other stuff we can talk about today. We'll find something. How about that? That's what we do. We're good at that. We can talk more Illinois football.
That could be tough.
Illinois basketball?
Practice starts this week.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Today's officially the first day for in-season practice.
Is
now, not
really?
Every team says, okay, we're going to go today as our first practice. I think Illinois might be waiting until Friday.
Well,
this is the opening week.
You tell me why they're waiting until Friday. That'll be the tease. We'll talk about it next. It's The Drive.